Hello, my name's Laura Highland and I'm the head of the Learning Academy at Education for Health. In this podcast, I'd like to spend a few minutes exploring the concept of leadership. There are a number of formal models or theories of leadership that we could look at, but I would like to introduce leadership to you as it was introduced to me when I was working in local authority commissioning, and that was leadership brought down to two golden rules. As we work through the COVID-19 pandemic, those of us in healthcare roles in particular look more and more to our leaders to guide us, to help us face the new challenges that we're experiencing on a daily basis. This may be redeployment into areas that are new or unfamiliar to us. It may be dealing with challenges or queries from patients that we've not had to deal with previously. Whatever the circumstances, we look to our colleagues for leadership and for guidance. And similarly, more and more so, we find that they may look to us. And so it seems more important now than ever to develop some of these basic skills of leadership to help support one another through the pandemic. So, two golden rules of leadership. Rule number one is it's all about you. If you think about yourself as a leader, it's really only your behaviour that's important. You are a role model, you're an influencer for those working with you. And while you can share good practice ideas, you can demonstrate the behaviours and the qualities that you would like to see in your colleagues, at the end of the day, you're not able to force change upon anybody else. It's only your behaviour that's within your gift to change. So thinking about effective leaders, what is it about them that makes them able to effect that change, to exert their influence and their example to such an extent that they do bring about change within their role? At this point, if we were all together in a room, I'd ask you to think of somebody that you consider to be an effective leader. So as you're listening, think about those that you've worked with or that you've observed and what it is about the way that they conduct themselves that makes them an effective leader. When we talk about leaders, the first characteristic I think most of us would touch upon would be communication and being a good communicator. Without that capacity to convey a message clearly, passionately, in a way that makes others not only want to listen, but to respond and to act upon what's being said. Communication in itself is a huge topic. But if we think about leaders, think about the language that they use. Are they clear? Are they concise? Do they get to the very heart of the message that they're conveying? Think about their body language as you look upon somebody that you consider to be a leader. Do they stand tall? Do they look you in the eye? Do they hold themselves with confidence? I think if we want to effect change and influence others to follow us, we need to exude confidence in everything that we do. That's not to say as a leader you have to feel confidence all the time, but you need to give that impression that you're confident in yourself, in your role, and in the message that you're sending. Linked very closely to that is a culture of positivity that surrounds an effective leader. I think if you are going to encourage people to follow you, your very nature, your very approach to your role and to any challenges that arise within your role needs to be positive. You need to be looking for opportunities rather than threats. You need to be looking for solutions rather than obstacles. And this in turn leads you to motivate those that you're working with. An effective leader motivates you to improve yourself, to look at the end goal and how you get there. And this idea not only of motivating in a professional development sense, but also in an upkeep of morale, particularly at the moment. Again, if we think about the circumstances that we're working in at the moment, the things that we're seeing, the things we're experiencing on a daily basis, those leaders are there not only to guide us in a professional capacity, but to ensure that we try to remain positive as much as possible, to ensure that our well-being is protected and that we're able to manage those challenges that we're experiencing. Within this concept of being a motivator and being a positive influence, is the issue of giving feedback. Obviously, in terms of giving praise where it's been earned, but also in giving constructive feedback, that helps us towards that end goal, that helps us to develop and improve as professionals. We talk a great deal about SMART goals and SMART targets, and really that is so deeply ingrained within a leader's role, to not only talk about the point where you want to get to, but also to support you in how to get there in a really systematic and practical way. And I think a further characteristic of a good leader is to be that creative problem solver, to be able to look for opportunities and solutions that perhaps other people haven't seen as yet. And again, this leads into another of those characteristics, which is the ability to not only take responsibility as they identify those solutions and make those plans, but also to have a willingness to delegate. Inherent to being a good leader is understanding that you can do anything, but you can't do everything. You need to work with those around you and have trust in those that you're working with to use their strengths and to carry out some of the tasks and take on some of the roles that are needed to get you towards that end goal. Again, if we reflect on the pandemic, you can't do this as an individual. You need to be working as part of a team with those around you, even if at the end of the day, you're the one leading that team. Here at Education for Health, we're in a very privileged position in that our Chief Executive, Linda Edwards, has a particular interest in leadership, both in her own leadership style and in developing those that she works with. And in her book that she's written on leadership, on which much of her training and development is based, she talks about a style of leadership that she describes as barefoot, by which she means an ability to combine our intellectual selves and our knowledge of how we lead with our true selves, the very essence of us, that personal aspect of leadership. And I think this brings us back to that first golden rule that I talked about. It's all about you. It's about the person you are, about your values and your beliefs and what you as an individual can bring to your leadership style. Then there's my second golden rule of leadership, which is, it's not about you. Which is confusing, I appreciate, having just said that it's all about you. But let's think about it this way. It stands to reason that you can only lead if you have people to follow, and those people are the strongest assets that you have as a leader. They've got strengths, they've got abilities, they've got knowledge and experience that they can bring to your team, and your function as a leader is to bring out the best in those individuals. So effective leadership really isn't about you, it's about the people that you're working with and how you can help them to become the best that they can be. We've recently published some fact sheets as part of our respiratory update pack about the role of emotional intelligence and how important it is to try and tap into and to understand the feelings of those that you're working with, as well as understanding and managing your own feelings and emotions. Thinking again about the circumstances that we're currently working in, it's a highly emotional time. People have got things going on in their lives that potentially they've not had to deal with before. Everybody has got emotions and concerns that they're trying to process at the moment. And as a leader, you need to be mindful of those and to support your colleagues and your team to work through those in a sensitive but ultimately professional way. That's not to say that you put aside the jobs that need to be done or amend your priorities because of people's emotional state. It's just about being mindful that people are in a vulnerable position at the moment and may respond differently to requests and to proposed change than they normally would. And it's that issue of change where it becomes really important to remember that it really is not about you. As a leader, you're going to be put in a position where you do have to propose change and where you have to implement change that may not always be well received. And it's a process that we often refer to as rocking the boat. You're disturbing the status quo and suggesting something that perhaps people weren't expecting or perhaps they're not receptive to. But it's so important to remember that without change, we can't achieve improvement. Any improvement that you bring in as a leader will come from a change, whether it's very small or a major service reform. And so in leading, it's up to you to bring people on board the boat, if you will, to bring them on board with that proposed change and help them to understand what's needed. And I think a really important point here is to view proposing change not as a mandate, but as a call to action. You're making a case for something that you believe will improve the service that you're providing, whether it's specific to the pandemic, specific to your patients, specific to your service area. What you're trying to do is implement an improvement. And in establishing a call to action, you're asking your colleagues to join you on that journey to change. If you are passionate, if you communicate clearly, if you remain positive and look at the bigger picture, it's all of those qualities that we talked about earlier, you are much more likely to get your team on board and to bring them along with you on that quest for change. So thinking back to the effective leader that you identified at the beginning of this podcast, would you respond to a call for action from them? Would you trust them to lead you towards improvement, to delegate, to take responsibility, to solve problems? And if the answer is yes, then they really are an effective leader. And it's worth thinking about those people that you've come into contact with, be it in your personal or professional life, who exhibit all of these qualities that we've just discussed. And start to think about perhaps they can support you in your journey towards effective leadership. How do they get things done? Can you spend more time with them, learning from them, or just talking to them about strategies that they find effective in their roles? Because as we've already established, it's not about you. It's about those around you, the strengths that they've got, and what you can learn from them. And in that learning, it's all about you, because your behaviour, your leadership style, your approach is completely within your gift to improve and to change and to become the leader that you want to be. That was very much a whistle-stop tour of leadership, and of course there is so much more to the subject than can be condensed into two golden rules. Within the Learning Academy at Education for Health, we're looking to develop and extend our offer of continuing professional development courses, of leadership, of facilitation, of all those skills to help you to advance in your career. And we'll be continuing to touch upon these things within our respiratory update pack, in our fact sheets, in our podcasts, to support your work with respiratory patients. Because all of these skills of leadership, of emotional intelligence, are just as applicable when it comes to working with your patients, if not more so. You need to understand those concerns, those feelings of your patients, in order to be able to establish a trusting relationship with them, to guide them through their treatment plans, and to help establish that relationship, and to essentially give them a better experience of care in what can be a very difficult and frightening time. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.